Welcome to the Crossover Alliance podcast. I'm your host, David N. Alderman, here to talk to you about writing, publishing, and Christianity in today's culture. You can find out more about our publishing company, see our available stories, and sign up for our free email newsletter by visiting thecrossoveralliance.com. And with that, here's the show. Hello, Crossover Allies. Welcome to our podcast, episode number 5. Today we're going to talk about divorce and its effect on today's culture. There's speculation in today's society of what the divorce rates in America are. Some say 1 in 2 marriages end in divorce. Some statistics try to show that marriage numbers are actually up and divorce numbers are down, watering down the negative statistics so that it's actually not as bad as everyone has been led to believe. Regardless of the statistics, though, one only has to peer through the foggy windows into their friends' lives to see that divorce is a very real and very common issue, not only in society in general, but also within the Christian church. When I was a kid, I experienced divorce firsthand, a couple of times. My parents divorced when I was 10, and I went to live with my dad for a year in Oregon. Then my parents remarried each other when my mom's boyfriend at the time became violent and my dad had to come to her rescue. My parents then remained married to one another until I was 17, at which time they divorced during the end of my senior year of high school. When my parents divorced a second time, it was horrific. Both of my parents became consumed with themselves, with their own survival. Because of this, my siblings and I all fell through the cracks. I got booted out into the real world almost immediately with no previous warning or instruction on how the real world actually worked. I struggled to survive like a man drowning, with no real knowledge of how to survive. That, however, is another story for another time. The point is, I had a front row seat to how devastating divorce can be, not only on the two people divorcing, but on everyone else around them. Everyone was affected. Divorce is like a meteor that strikes the surface of the earth. It doesn't just hit the center of impact, but also destroys nearby towns and tears up the surrounding landscape. There is always considerable collateral damage in a divorce. One could say that the problem with society today is that divorce is looked on too casually. And yes, I believe that's part of the problem. In a microwave, cell phone, fast food society, we expect things to come to us quickly and easily. Convenience becomes a god and we worship it above all others. In a society like this, divorce becomes just another convenience. Tired of your spouse? Get a new one. Worn out from putting work into your marriage? Get out. Does the grass look greener on the other side of the fence? Hop the fence. Nowadays, people divorce almost like it's a bodily function. It's disgusting. And this uptick in divorce has led many to decide to move in together to try out the goods before getting married. This has led to all sorts of other problems, the greatest of which is lack of any real commitment. Relationships are treated like used cars. Take it for a few test drives, drive it like you stole it, and then return it when it bores you or you realize it isn't working for you. The causes of this casual view of divorce are many. In my second podcast episode, I discussed the culture we live in and the detrimental effects wokeness has had on it. One of the consequences of having a culture that treats sex and gender with animosity and indifference is that you get a watering down of covenant marriage and commitment. If you can sleep around, and if sleeping around is actually praised in society, then ducking out on your spouse to chase after someone else or walking away from a marriage because it's too challenging to be in a committed relationship is a cakewalk. A lot of times it's actually praised. Most times the person ducking out is revered as a victim or hero, and the one getting walked out on is almost always cast as a villain. Whether they really were or not doesn't seem to matter when narcissism is a cultural currency. Another problem is what our society's definition of marriage is. Marriage was always instituted as a religious function. Since the Genesis account, marriage was instituted by God himself, between man and woman. If you look around now, you'll see that between man and woman is turned into between man and man, between woman and woman, between woman and ghost, between man and sex doll. The covenant idea that marriage is between man, woman, and God has been all but dissolved, and in its place is man's lustful, rebellious desire to make marriage whatever they want it to be. The LGBTQ+ movement, for example, has in recent years made a mockery of marriage, claiming that love is love and that the holy union between same-sex partners is the equivalent of a godly covenant marriage. Many Christians have come behind these types of weddings in solidarity of support for reasons that baffle me. In reality, these LGBTQ plus weddings are nothing more than civil unions. God doesn't bless marriages of this type. Signing a contract to say you are committed to someone of another sex is not the same as entering into a covenant godly marriage with another person. It's the watering down of marriage that has helped lead to the watering down of divorce. Casual sex and casual marriage can only lead to one natural outcome, casual divorce. Nothing is sacred and everything is permissible. I went through a divorce back in 2018. My wife at the time came out of left field with news that she wanted a divorce. To this day, I still don't know exactly what happened. I offered to go to counseling to try and figure out what the problem was, but she refused. To spare my son, who was 6 at the time, having to see his parents fight it out in court, I offered to do a consensual divorce. My thought was, if she was going to divorce me anyway, I may as well keep it as civil as possible, not only for my sake, but for my son's. I had a few people in my life try to tell me that it would be wise to trick her into going to counseling, that if I could just get her in front of a counselor, they could maybe help her see the egregiousness of her actions. But I knew that wasn't a realistic strategy. If someone wants to leave, and she wanted to leave, what could I possibly do to stop her? I did everything in my power to stop the derailing train, but at some point you have to let it all go and face the reality of the situation. It doesn't mean I gave up. In fact, I fought harder for my marriage at that time than any other time of my life. Though I wasn't exactly sure what was going on, I tried a myriad of things to stem the bleeding. In the end, though, I had to concede not just for my sake, but to save my son from becoming collateral damage. The years that followed the divorce were the most challenging years of my life. When someone is in your life for 12 plus years and then they are suddenly not, it's jarring. Strangely enough, it would have been easier if it was a death I had to confront. When someone dies, you grieve and attempt to move on with your life. There's a closure involved. But in a divorce, the marriage dies, but, especially if you have kids, you still have to deal with your previous significant other and the new reality of your situation. There isn't clean closure. What society doesn't understand about divorce is that divorce isn't just the end of a marriage, it's the death of a marriage. And when someone and something dies, there's always fallout, and there's always grieving by the concerned parties and everyone else who knew the couple. Divorce has tendrils that reach out farther and wider than just the couple getting divorced. Divorce can create childhood trauma, weaken relational perceptions, and create generational patterns that can trickle down through the entire family line for decades afterwards. We know how today's culture views divorce, but how are we as Christians supposed to view divorce? First, we need to clear the air about legitimate reasons for divorce. The Bible specifically mentions two of them, unfaithfulness, adultery, in Matthew 5:32 and 19:9, and abandonment by an unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 7:15, meaning if one person in a married unit comes to Christ and the other decides to leave the marriage because of it. Those reasons are spelled out in plain words, but just because those are the only two specific justifications for divorce in the Bible does not mean that divorce is required in those instances, nor does it mean that those are the only reasons one might divorce their spouse. There are many stories of spouses leaving a marriage because it is unsafe, in terms of abuse by the other partner, because of child abuse, because the spouse has become a chronic and unrepentant addict, etc. In some sense, these other things can be construed as a breaking of the marriage covenant and grounds for divorce. The biblical reality is, divorce is never encouraged by God. Rules for divorce were created in the Old Testament because people were divorcing, and rules needed to be put in place regarding how that should work. It wasn't something that God promoted, and it wasn't something that the people were supposed to be doing. Much like the polygamy that ran rampant in Old Testament times, God didn't approve or encourage it. But he allowed it because people had free will, and consequences always came with that free will. Advocates of the Old Testament being irrelevant like to claim that God promoted all sorts of things in Old Testament times that were then frowned upon in New Testament times. The reality is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God never changes what it is he believes. God had to deal with an incredibly sinful and ungrateful generation of believers. There were things in the Old Testament that he did not sanction, but that he allowed. It doesn't mean he approved or encouraged those things. He wanted man to see the consequences of his actions, and he wanted people to follow his will via free will, not enslavement. The truth is, if people followed the instructions God gave them in the first place, there wouldn't be a need for divorce. Abusing your spouse, abandoning your spouse, committing adultery, all things the Lord condemns. So if we, as a society, weren't practicing those things, then there wouldn't be a need for divorce. But how should we handle divorce in today's convenient, narcissistic, woke society? First of all, our culture as a whole needs to learn to work at things. When the going gets tough in today's marriages, the tough run. They want easy. They want simple. They don't want to do the hard work that goes into building and maintaining a marriage and a family. This attitude has permeated all of society's arenas, including work, personal goals, and other relationships. Everything needs to be easy or spoon-fed, or our culture doesn't find it worth pursuing or putting any kind of time or attention toward it. This isn't saying anything against those who divorce for reasons previously stated, such as abuse, adultery, or other forms of sexual immorality. Those individuals aren't leaving the marriage because they want to, but because they have to. Sometimes it's literally a matter of life or death. But those who divorce for reasons of convenience, such as their partner isn't paying enough attention to them, they are bored with the marriage, they want to venture into other pastures, like singleness or another marriage, should be corrected. These reasons are most likely byproducts of a culture that has glamorized selfishness and convenience as if they were gods themselves. In reality, those things have become idols. We become our own idols through narcissism, and we treat how we feel in the moment as an indicator for what we should be doing with our lives. Marriage, true marriage, is sacred. It should be protected, worked at, cherished. When we see friends or family turning toward divorce as an option for reasons that fall outside of abuse or abandonment, we need to speak up. We need to intervene in an attempt to help them save their marriage. That's not being meddlesome. That's not being judgmental. That's being good friends and family. One obvious and oftentimes neglected fix for marriages that are heading toward divorce is counseling. Christian counseling, preferably, as most Christian counselors will take a biblical approach to the marriage. I have witnessed a lot of secular counselors who eschew the ideals of the world at large and end up making more of a mess of the marriage than it was to begin with. A lot of secular ideals can permeate worldly counseling, such as feminism, selfish ambition, and the idea that everyone deserves a, quote, fresh start, unquote, at some point in their lives. Another way to help marriages is to make sure those marriages are held accountable to church friends and family. This isn't saying the church is in charge or control of your marriage, but you should be held accountable to a church that values marriage and cares about your family and your marriage enough to speak into your life if they see something has gone awry. You need people who are grounded in godly conduct and character to call you out if you're in the wrong about something, especially if you're in the wrong about how you're treating your spouse or your marriage as a whole. This being said, I have observed some churches that treat divorcees with contempt, shame, and some degree of stigma, as if those who are divorced or who have divorced are supposed to forever wear a scarlet A on their chest. This is not how the church should handle divorce. Regardless of the reasons for divorce, divorce creates hurt and destruction in every facet of the lives of those involved, and the church, being a triage and not a country club, needs to surround those who are dealing with this type of tragedy and love them, counsel them, and disciple them into healthier relationships with others and with God. Preserving the nuclear family, embracing traditional family values, such as church, family meals, raising your children to love God, communicating clearly with one another, keeping God as the center of the family, these are all things that lead to happy, healthy families and lives as a whole. What happens if divorce is inevitable? In my case, my now ex-spouse was going to divorce me regardless of what I did, so I did my best to mitigate the damage, in particular the damage to my son. But beyond that, I needed healing. Lots of it. 12 years of marriage isn't something to scoff at. But beyond that, many people don't realize that the sexual nature of a marriage also ties you to that individual, and there needs to be healing in that regard as well. For me, when I went through my divorce, I figured sexual purity was out the window, so I felt it was okay to have sex outside of marriage at that point. God used his own ways to remind me that sexual purity is important to him and vital to me, regardless of my age, how long I was married, or what I was going through in life. I finally found healing in divorce care, which a friend of mine suggested I engage in. Divorce care is a 13 to 14 week session that focuses on the healing aspects of divorce, from the raw wounding to restoring a life of your own after the separation. Because of the healing that I found through divorce care, I now co-run the divorce care classes for my church, and I found it to be an incredibly rewarding experience. When I lead divorce care classes, I always make it clear that there is no judgment regarding why someone is getting divorced. We have people who come in that are the ones divorcing, and we have people come in who are the ones being divorced from. It doesn't matter. Both parties need healing. It's important that when someone is coming for healing from divorce that they aren't inundated with my own interpretation of what was, is going on in their failing marriage. In reality, that's a job for a counselor, someone close to them, or a teacher or a pastor within the church. The beauty of these classes is that if someone is in the wrong, they usually find out for themselves while they are attending divorce care. Seek healing. Lean on God. Know deep inside your core that life is not over. God can and will restore what the locusts eat. Joel 2:25. An incredibly simple and important thing that many can do to restore the broken pieces of their marriage is to remind one another why you married in the first place. Go back to when you first met, when you first dated, when you were first courting. Revisit those places in time when you were the happiest together, when you cherished one another, when you upheld the sacred bond of marriage. Remember why you fell in love with this person and why you wanted to spend the rest of your life with them. Divorce is treated casually and without proper respect in today's culture. The thing to remember is that even though divorce isn't God's plan for anyone, there are justifiable reasons for it, and there is help available for when one is going through it. Just keep in mind that the enemy wants nothing more than to destroy that which is sanctified by God. I highly recommend if you are going through a divorce and need help, even if it's just someone to listen to, that you join a divorce care group in your local community. Go to divorcecare.org for more information on groups near you. Before we end our podcast episode, I want to share with you some projects coming down the pipeline. Our first short story anthology is on track to release later this year. Broken, a divorce-themed anthology, will feature short stories dealing with the subject of divorce by a variety of authors, including Hazel May LeBrun, Stoney Setzer, Heidi Gray McGill, Jeremy Bullard, and Parker J. Cole. We'll have a release date soon. The second episode of our audio series, The LZR Project, is now available to listen to. This is a 40-episode short story series set in my own expired reality universe, and it chronicles how city heroes, the Laserblades, finally put a stop to Mr. Big's crime spree. The LZR Project is free on Spotify, Apple, and any other podcast streams you already find this podcast on. New episodes release each week. If you're interested in submitting a short story, novella, or novel to us, please visit thecrossoveralliance.com/submissions. Right now, we're accepting almost all genres that contain Christian themes, including science fiction, fantasy, horror, adventure, even romance. I hope today's chat about divorce helps you to see how vital healthy marriages are to God's kingdom, and how you can find healing if divorce is something you end up experiencing. Catch you next time! Thank you for listening to today's podcast episode. Please visit thecrossoveralliance.com to check out our books, submit your own story, and connect with other writers and readers of Christian content. You can also receive a free digital copy of one of our books for signing up for our email newsletter at thecrossoveralliance.com/email-signup. To connect with us socially, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram as The Crossover Alliance, and on X as Crossover Ally. You can find me as David N. Alderman on all of these platforms. Have a great day.